I'm Jen White. This is 1A. I'm going to guess that at some point in the past year, you've found it hard to get a good night's sleep. And it's not surprising. We've all had to deal with our lives being disrupted. But how we've responded to insomnia has been different. And what you're about to hear is a reminder that out of pain and loss, music has the power to heal and connect. Richard Daniel Poor is a Grammy Award-winning composer. Last year, one performance in particular brought him calm and comfort in the wee hours of the night. That's from Bach's Goldberg Variations, performed by the American pianist Simona Dinnerstein. And it was this performance that put Richard on the journey to write new music, pieces he wanted Simona to play, and each honors one sector of society impacted by the pandemic. The album is called An American Mosaic, and we're joined by Richard Daniel Poor. Richard, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much.
And Simona Dinnerstein. Simona, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So we should begin with where you both are, because that's key to this story and your relationship. Richard, where are you on the West Coast?
I live in Los Angeles.
And Simona, remind us where you're based.
I'm in Park Slope, Brooklyn, firmly ensconced on the East Coast.
So opposite ends of the country. Richard, you've said the only thing that was able to relax you enough to sleep was listening to Simona's Bach recordings. What was it about her performance that made a difference?
There's a little bit more backstory here. I actually would go to sleep at around 11 o'clock and wake up at 2 a.m. After a few nights of looking at the ceiling, I decided I had an idea for an opera, and so I started writing a libretto. But as I was, you know, I would be working on this libretto from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., and I tried all kinds of medication. I mean, you name it, I've tried it. And nothing would get me to sleep. But I had remembered just before the pandemic, picking up a CD. I'm one of those people who listens to CDs. And I found a CD of her 2 and 3 part inventions. And I thought it was just absolutely exquisite. I had never heard anyone play the 2 and 3 part inventions of Bach so beautifully. And so I thought, you know, maybe she's got some other recordings. And I went on Spotify and I found that she had a recording of the Goldbergs. And of course, that was written for an insomniac originally. And so I started listening to them, and it put me in this relaxed place in which I sort of slept into the music, and it worked so well for me. And so finally, I had to find a way to thank her, and I wrote her an email.
Simona, it's interesting because I'm told when we all first starting to observe stay-at-home orders, you chose that time really not to play the piano. Instead, you leaned into being able to stay home with your family. Talk us through that decision.
Well, it wasn't really a decision that I made as a kind of constructive choice. It was just that I was at home and I just felt so overwhelmed by the situation and frightened and upset. And also I was at the same time enjoying being with my husband and my son, who we'd brought home from college. So it was just a very strange time, and I felt that it was the first time in my life where music really didn't have any answers for me, and I didn't really feel like I could use it in any way to process what it was that I was feeling. And so when he reached out to me with that reaction, it was incredibly touching and moving for me, and it made me feel like, you know, that I had made a connection with another human being. And it was incredibly affirming for me to get that response from him, especially, you know, because he is a composer. I mean, he is somebody who creates music and is intimately connected to music. So his reaction was particularly sensitive.
Richard, the album, An American Mosaic, is a set of 15 miniatures. Tell us about, you know, basically, how did you form the idea for this album? what groups you wanted to honor, how you were thinking through that creative process?
Well, that's a great question. And first of all, I should say that one of the components of this piece, if you look at the way it's structured, are these four constellations. The first constellation is the prologue, which is really a single line, like a chant, right? The second constellation, which is two voices, is a two-part invention, which occurs one-third of the way through the piece, and it is a variation on the opening prologue. The third constellation is a three-voice fugue and is another variation on the original idea. And then the last constellation is the epilogue, the very end of the piece, which is a chorale. And in fact, the idea of the chorale to end the piece was really Simone's idea. Simone had that idea originally. What I haven't really mentioned or talked about in any interviews is something quite personal, which is that in those nights that I was having trouble sleeping, I did have a dream in which I was sitting at the foot of my bed with tears rolling down my cheeks, sobbing about all of the suffering that was going on and just feeling heartbroken at all of the people who are dying. And in my dream, all of a sudden, I felt I was embraced from behind in this very warm and nurturing way. And I looked down and I saw these two wings of light in my dream. And I realized I was being embraced by something like an angel. And I remember the angel was feminine. And she whispered in my ear, "Even the angels cry sometimes." And then I woke up. And I knew that that was going to be a source material for the constellations. So these constellations are, in effect, the equivalent of angels who come to comfort the suffering. And then around that exist all of the heroes of the pandemic, some who have struggled and prevailed, others who have not made it. I mean, for instance, the 14th movement, which is one of my favorite, is titled Prophets and Martyrs and is dedicated to the Black lives lost during the pandemic.
We're talking to the composer Richard Daniel Poor and classical pianist Simona Dennerstein. Richard is in L.A. and Simona is in Brooklyn, and between them, they're the forces behind the album An American Mosaic. It's an original work composed by Richard and performed by Simona. As I listen to Richard describe the dream he had, Simona, and think about the experience you had during the pandemic and not finding comfort in the music, not finding an answer for some of the things you were struggling with. How did this collaboration with Richard, this creative process, perhaps help ease some of your suffering?
I think that it was very absorbing having the experience of learning the piece. You know, he started composing it in June, and I started receiving movements of it in July. And I spent July and August and September learning it. And I think it was an unusual experience to be learning a piece of music that was being created in real time as a response to an experience that he and I were sharing, and everybody else, you know. And I don't know how often music has been composed in that way where there's been a collaboration. I've been trying to think about other instances. I was thinking about music maybe that was composed during World War II for specific performers, where composers and performers were collaborating and they were experiencing the same event that was taking place. But I felt like, you know, each movement, other than the constellations, each movement in the work is about a different group of people who were affected. And so learning those movements and thinking about those people and thinking about making the music come to life at the piano was a great way of processing everything that was taking place during the summer.
Richard, I'm curious for you, as you were writing this work and going through the act of composition and handing it off to Simona, with this understanding that the experience of collaborating in this project was so deeply connected to what you were experiencing in your life in that moment. How did you think about Simona as a co-creator of sorts, where, you know, her experience then becomes a part of the composition?
Well, one of the things that composers learn how to do if they know what they're doing is write literally for a performer. You know, there is no such thing as a generic mezzo-soprano. There are hundreds of great mezzo-sopranos in the world, and I have written for actually many of them. But each one of these voices is different. It's the same with pianists. There is no, you know, there is no one pianist who sounds like another. The thing that attracted me to Simona's playing was that there was a kind of warmth and love in the sound. You know, I've made this analogy before where, you know, when you go to a great restaurant, you can taste the love in the food. Well, I could hear the love in the sound. I thought if we joined forces and I could create something that contained in it the same unbridled, and she's also, her playing is also very direct. It's no nonsense, no BS, direct, very direct, but at the same time, never cold, you see. And I thought, if I could write something for someone who can make that kind of sound and have that kind of clarity, then perhaps we will do something that gives comfort to others, you see. So in that way, I was continually thinking about her sound, in much the same way that, for instance, years ago, when I wrote my first cello concerto for Yo-Yo Ma, I followed him around for a year to listen to him play concertos so I could internalize his sound in my head. And as I wrote an American Mosaic, I was writing with the sound that Simona makes, because it in a way, it also implies the very same embrace that I felt from that angel in my dream.
Simona, that was just a really lovely description of how Richard hears you. And when you receive this music that Richard has composed and he's putting you on the page as a musician, what is that experience like for you?
Oh, it's incredibly special because, of course, I'm mostly playing music by dead composers who couldn't ever have conceived that a Jewish girl in Brooklyn would play their music, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that it's so lovely to have that. I've had, I think that there have been like a couple of composers that I've really bonded with, and I felt that they knew how to write for me and that they were thinking of me. And it's so lovely that, you know, Richard and I never met. We still haven't met. And yet I feel like he knows me well enough that he could write this piece for me to play with me in mind. And that there's something a bit uncanny about that when somebody can know you in that way.
Well, there are 15 pieces in an American Mosaic, and each addresses a specific topic or group. So number 4 has the title Rabbis and Ministers. Number 13 is dedicated to teachers and students. Richard, of the 15, is there one that holds a more personal connection for you?
You know, they're all important to me. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to sort of single out one. But there are two that are just emotionally and personally very special to me. And I think that they may be among two of Simona's favorites. One is An Elegy for Our Time, which is the one that is right smack in the center of the entire cycle. And that movement, it's extremely tender. This was me writing a love letter to the families who had lost people. It was in many ways just as much for the survivors as it was in memory of those who had lost their lives. And the other one that I like very, very much, and I actually play it myself on the piano because I enjoy playing it, is the movement that's titled Doctors and Interns, which I dedicated to my own pulmonologist, Dr. Andrew Schroeder, who watched me like a hawk during this very difficult period. I mean, he's one of the greatest doctors I think I'll ever know, but he knew how difficult it was for me to be in this kind of lockdown for so many months, not having anybody come into my place other than my housekeeper, who I actually never saw because she was always in a different room. That movement is dedicated to him.
Simona, what about for you?
Yeah, well, I think that Richard did choose my favorite movements, too. I mean, especially, I love Doctors and Interns. It has a kind of, almost a sort of minimalist quality to it. Richard's writing has a kind of American sound to it sometimes that I hear in that movement a lot, and in actually really an elegy for our time. I think some of the livelier movements, like the movement about the journalists, it also reminds me of Bernstein, like that kind of energy, that kind of syncopated energy.
We're talking to composer Richard Daniel Poor and classical pianist Simona Dinnerstein about their collaboration at American Mosaic. We'll be back with more in a moment. This is 1A. Today, we're in conversation with pianist Simona Dinnerstein. She's played with some of the world's best-known orchestras, ranging from the New York Philharmonic to the Montreal Symphony Orchestra to the London Symphony Orchestra. Also with us, Richard Daniel Poor. Richard is a Grammy Award-winning composer, now at the Herb Alpert School of Music at UCLA. His commissions include work for Yo-Yo Ma, Jesse Norman, and the Emerson String Quartet. They're the two forces behind a new album that honors those impacted by the pandemic. The album is called An American Mosaic. We've already heard movements that highlighted the role of journalists in covering the pandemic and those who took part in last summer's protests. Let's pick up the conversation with another track, one that's dedicated to all the parents. Richard, talk a bit about the thinking around that piece and what you're trying to capture. I'll tell you, I hear what I've heard a lot of parents describe during the pandemic, which is this sort of controlled chaos of having the kids at home and being at home and doing homeschool and also trying to work. What was in your mind?
Exactly. Well, I actually dedicated that movement to my cousin, Shireen Yadigar and her husband, Payman, who live just a few miles away from me, but they have four daughters. And, you know, dealing with four young girls at different stages of their life is a handful. And so, you know, my cousin was telling me about some of the challenges of being a nonstop stay-at-home mom during the pandemic with four girls. And so that was sort of the image I had in mind. And in fact, I saw them for the first time. I saw my cousin's family for the first time in over a year, just two Fridays ago. And everybody vaccinated. And I actually gave them a copy of the CD, and they were so grateful for it. So, you know, it's a lot of the dedicatees are truly connected to the pieces themselves.
Let's listen to another piece. This is Caretakers and Physicians. Simona, as you're bringing these pieces to life, how much did who the pieces were named for influence or inform your playing?
Even if the names were not there, the music has a real sense of narrative in it. But in that one that we just listened to, there are lots of sort of short phrases that are very, how do I say it? Like they have a kind of gracious quality to them. It's like somebody is speaking. They have a very spoken quality, even though it's just textless music. So I wanted to try to bring out that aspect of that I heard in the music, which was a kind of reaching out that happens. It feels like somebody reaching out. The music is reaching out. I imagine that there is a real, that might have been a gesture that Richard was thinking of having to do with, you know, what he was writing, you know, the topic of what he was writing about. But that's what I heard in it. I don't know. Richard, does that make sense to you?
Just wanted to say that the title of that second movement is Caretakers and Research Physicians. And that's very important because the dedicatee of that work is research physician who used to be my next door neighbor in New York, Dr. Lily Kadir, who actually one of the sort of final sort of last straws of my staying in New York was in December of 2016 when my asthma had gotten so bad, and she took me to the hospital and made sure that I got the care I needed. I thought I was going to die that night before I went to the hospital because I was in such discomfort. And to this day, I feel like she saved my life. And we talked on the phone all through the pandemic because she had all the latest updates on vaccines as they were being developed and on safety issues. And you know, I mean, I read the New York Times, but the New York Times has its limits. They usually say what everybody already knows by the time they print it, and even though I still like the newspaper. But I preferred to get my information from someone who was cutting edge, and Lily was so generous about this that I thought that it was a no-brainer that she be the dedicatee of that movement.
I want to focus in on something you said, Simona. You said when you play that piece, when you hear it, it feels like a reaching out. And Richard, in composing these pieces, was this a way of you reaching out, pushing back against some of the isolation that you were feeling during these periods of lockdown?
Yes, absolutely. The answer is yes, unequivocally. You know, as musicians, we are in constant communication, either with one another or with our listeners, right? I mean, we're in the communication business. But being isolated had made communication for musicians difficult. And I thought, I'll be damned if I'm not going to find a way to break through this. I knew that even before Simona and I had a conversation, that if I found someone who could perform this on a live stream, that it would probably have to be at the end of the year when we would all be at our lowest point. And fortunately, Simona understood this immediately. And I also felt, on top of all of that, that this was for me my own therapy. This was a way of healing myself of the sadness and the grief that I was experiencing on a daily basis. In a way, it was again, not only was listening to Simona's playing the best medicine that I could receive, but writing these pieces for her was an equally great medicine.
Simona, I'm curious for you, not just about the reaching out piece of this collaboration, but whether this was also for you about reaching inward when you were describing some of the difficulty you had during the pandemic I think a lot of the struggles a lot of us had around just the emotion of it all.
Yes, definitely. I think that this music has a depth to it, and the process of working on music is definitely a therapeutic process. Sometimes it can be an incredibly frustrating process as a pianist because, you know, I can't achieve the thing that I feel that the music is saying. But the process of untangling what the music is saying and trying to, you know, in the case of this work, it was also my first time playing any of Richard's music. So I was also trying to understand his language and how he thinks about music. It was fascinating because it also takes you out of yourself. You know, you're getting into somebody else's musical world as opposed to just being in your own head all the time.
On the other side of this pandemic, there will be, I'm sure, books written about this period of time. There will be, you know, investigative reports done on what happened or didn't happen. But Richard, how do you hope your work, your collaboration with Simona, can perhaps provide a different lens through which we can think about, remember, and connect to not just the difficult emotions, but perhaps even some of the hope that comes out of this past year?
I think if I've learned anything from this experience, I have learned that even though we are physically separated, that our minds are not separated, that we, our minds and our souls are not separated from one another. And I felt that realizing this work with Simona and bringing it to life in this way is a kind of testament to that. It in some way shows us that there is no separation. And I really believe that along with that, I have learned that there is a need, constant need in all of us to renew and reinvigorate and increase our sense of compassion for one another. I think this was the thing that in essence has been lacking in the last 4 years. And I believe that it set the tone for a lot of what we were experiencing, so that when we came into 2021, I believe that a number of things changed. Apart from the fact that I think we now have an adult in the Oval Office, I feel that people are a lot less anxious than they were, not just because we have the vaccines being disseminated, but because there's actually somebody manning the wheel.
Simona, what about for you? How do you think this work, but music more generally, can create a different kind of record for what we've lived through?
I guess because I'm a musician, I believe in the power of an unspoken power. My husband is really obsessed with listening to podcasts, and I hear him listening to people talking all of the time, and he also is constantly reading the news and articles, and I think that written and spoken analysis are obviously very important and necessary, but art that does not have words, that is more abstract, is another type of a record, and it speaks very clearly, and we still use art to understand historical periods and historical events. And, you know, you listen to Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time, which he wrote in a prisoner of war camp during the Second World War, and gosh, that tells you a lot about what was being experienced during that period of time. And there are no words involved. So I think that what Richard has done here is a musical testament to what we just have experienced.
Richard Daniel Poor and Simona Dinnerstein, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
If you want to know more about the album and see Simona perform some of the music we've been talking about, you'll find it all at the1a.org. That's also where you'll find out more about our text club. It's the best way to get a jump on what we're working on. We'll only ever send you one text a day, and details about how to sign up can be found in the Talk to 1A tab at the1a.org. If you're a new listener to the show, we're thrilled to have you, and we hope you'll find a moment to tell us what stories and issues you'd like to hear more about on the program. This is a joint enterprise, and we try not to miss the opportunity for you to share what you know that helps us focus on what matters most to you. Tomorrow, it's the Friday News Roundup. Already, we have a lot to get to this week, and I hope you can join us. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and let's talk more soon. This is 1A.